From Lake Wasota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah, you're never going to go wrong with Michael McDonald. Sometimes it's like you know me.
Or oh, Kenny I'm Loggins, so rather. Sorry, Pat. What sorry. Was that? You should have let it. You should have let it play out for a couple more seconds.
No, I just the keyboard was similar to something else. So, yep. All right, reset the board to zero. It's been 0 days since Pat screwed up a Yacht Rock song.
All right, I'll get a little chalkboard. I can add that to the background here, and we'll get that exactly going. Just like what's his name, Woody Page on. What show did he do with ESPN? Around the Horn. Around the Horn. Yeah.
I love that board behind Woody Page. It's a little black. Well, it was started as a blackboard originally. How long has that show been on now? 20 years.
Oh, yeah. He's been on there.
Yeah. I mean, I was anchoring the news on Channel 13 back then, and I was envious of that chalkboard. So I have this, Wisconsin artwork, you know, hanging over my shoulder here. It's basically like, I don't know if it's marble or granite or what it is, you know, cut out beautifully and then framed. But I've often wished I could have that like box effect instead, like you would find on TV news, and we could do the Woody Page chalkboard on there. And apparently I will now have to write on that board 100 times. I will not mix up Kenny Loggins and Michael McDonald. I will not mix up Kenny Loggins and Michael McDonald. I will not mix up. During the commercial breaks, I try to look to see if there's anything else new to pass along before we wrap up our coffee break and before we start thinking about what's for lunch. And there's a lot that's predictable, shall we say, in the mailbag. And sometimes utterly so. The Wisconsin Republican Party put out a special statement today. And I forgive the eye roll, but statement on the anniversary of the Kenosha riots. I mean, if it were up to them, Kenosha would still be burning right now, because that was the fires they have danced around ever since. Fires that came from demonstrations against police violence. And in defending the violence, there has been this willing of the riots and the damage and the fires that resulted from it to never die and to always use it. And it's been used in multiple campaign commercials already. Anything that is meant to scare voters into thinking that, up here in Chippewa Falls, you know, the downtown, a block of Bridge Street could be set on fire at any moment if the Kenosha horde gets up here, when they know damn well that's not what's going to happen. There were impassioned protests everywhere, and people did in fact break the law and vandalize things and destroy things. But rather than address again the root causes of the anger and passion that lead to this, the systemic racism that's involved, the overdue reforms needed to police, it is instead simply grabbed and used as a scare tactic in campaigns. It's why you have, again, attorney general candidates talking about law and order when attorneys general do not work on these kinds of things. They're working on matters pertaining to state government. We have an expectation. We should get back to an expectation that our leaders, even when running for office, act like leaders. And when they leave office, they should act like leaders. But something has changed in our national discourse that has removed that mantle of leadership, that aura of leadership. And of course, this leads us to our latest story about Donald Trump, where it's been discovered in all of the other files and things that he and his circus have had, sensitive election system files that were obtained by attorneys working to overturn the 2020 election were shared. These election system files were shared with election deniers, conspiracy theorists, and right-wing commentators, according to records that have been reviewed by the Washington Post. A Georgia computer forensics firm hired by Trump's attorneys placed these sensitive files on a server, and company records show that that information has been downloaded dozens of times. Among the downloads were accounts associated with a guest on Sean Hannity's radio show, a podcaster who suggested political enemies should be executed, and a self-described former seduction and pickup coach who claims to have also been a hacker. What we're saying here is that when you leak sensitive data, or when you leave it in a place where it can be easily obtained, you are no longer acting in a leadership role of handling a criminal investigation or a court case. You are instead an accessory to any future use by hackers and others who could then take that voter machine data and use it to manipulate future elections. These are not, you know, these are serious things. Access to U.S. voting system software is tightly regulated, the Washington Post writes, and the government classifies these election voting systems as, quote, critical infrastructure. But the records that were reviewed show that how these files copied from state election systems were distributed to other people in multiple states. The threat is real. The threat is right from the people who are saying things like, make America great again. Those are the people who have taken classified and perhaps top secret documents and stored them carelessly, or, God forbid, have done something else to ensure that that data is shared, stolen, purchased, even accessed. Just accessed is enough. This is material in some cases where, much like you see in movies or shows, you know, you have to go into a secured room, supervised, in order just to look at what some of this information might be. And to learn that it's sitting in a cardboard box in a closet in Donald Trump's Florida home, just imagine if you had that document, much less 300 of them, in a box in your home, and federal agents showed up with a search warrant. How do you think you'd feel about that? How do you think you'd be treated? I'll tell you how Luke would be treated. He'd be getting nothing but zucchini bread in the clink while he was awaiting trial. The double standard is messed up. Sorry, the zucchini bread was just too early. You know, I'm sorry. In your case, you'd be denied zucchini bread. You would think it was cruel and inhuman punishment.
I was gonna say, you're treating me to my zucchini bread if I'm
awaiting trial. Sorry. I take that back.
I'm just so confused on your just disdain for the zucchini. Yes, this story is extremely upsetting, but how you have to weave your anger about the zucchini into it as well, I think that's unacceptable.
You're really going to force me to give zucchini another try.
So. Well, the problem is I can't bring my grill to work with me on Thursday or Friday, but I'll have to figure out a way to... Reheated grilled zucchini isn't good. I'll be with you on that one. Yeah.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
But no, this is the double standard for... You have the crowd that has been in favor of law and order for as long as I can remember. And that's been the Republican Party, and there were chants of lock her up over using a personal email account to send sometimes what may have been classified with the like lowest level of security, but still classified information. I understand that it may have leaked onto that server. And she sat before it, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton sat before Congress and was grilled for hours upon hours. And there was no wrongdoing. She was cleared in all of it at the end. But it was all hoopla. It was all just to drum up the right-wing outrage. And now that same crowd is just like, Oh, well, it's fine. Our own senator, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, said that, oh, yeah, it's super important for classified information to stay classified unless Donald Trump wants it declassified. Unless he did it and he wanted to take it to Mar-a-Lago, then it's fine. Then I don't bat an eye at it. And that's what our senator says, because there is a double standard for Trump can do no wrong, but lock her up and harsh punishment for everybody else.
Or even, I mean, look what people are saying on the Republican side since Dr. Anthony Fauci announced, his pending retirement from decades of public service. You have members of Congress promising to make his retirement miserable if they take control of Congress and relentlessly pursue him for the crime of wanting to keep people alive during a pandemic while too many Republicans either were proactive or turned a blind eye to the efforts that left more than 1 million Americans dead. It's no wonder that you have not just your Liz Cheney's and your Adam Kinzinger's. There were others who voted to impeach Trump that second time. They have either been forced to resign, retire, or they were defeated in primaries, but they're still there. And their ranks grew by one this week in Colorado, when State Senator Kevin Priola announced that he was changing from Republican to Democrat. He is considered a moderate Republican in the State House, translation, an endangered species. And he said that he could no longer participate in a party that would condone the violence that took place on January 6th. He said he could no longer accept, quote, a violent attempt to overturn a free and fair election and continue to peddle claims that the 2020 election was stolen, and one where his Republican colleagues would rather deny the existence of human-caused climate change than take action. And that's an important part. This isn't just about the insurrection. And you can still harbor doubts about the election, even though they're not rooted in anything. But I can understand maybe your partisan willingness to be open to the suggestion. But when we're talking about a changing climate or caps on insulin or some of these other issues, there was once a time when those were not partisan issues, where Republicans and Democrats would sometimes split on them, sometimes because of the cost involved or sometimes because a proposal didn't go far enough. But now these things are 100% Democrat or 100% Republican. And Priola's decision makes a difference for state Republicans who needed three additional seats if they wanted to win a majority in the Colorado State Senate. Now they need four seats, making it a much heavier lift. But again, this is, Priola's been at odds with his party over climate bills, over transportation bills. He has sometimes been threatened with a recall, which is, again, not a surprise in the modern Republican Party. But his story and his willingness to change party affiliation is simply one more example that patriotism is still alive and well, that there are people who would do, as John McCain said, put country before party. It is something we should expect from anybody, from Democrats, Republicans, and otherwise. And if we could get back to that, we could have less of this cynical feeling that we're on the wrong track, even though the economic numbers show that we're moving in the right direction. But when you have people both trashing the economic recovery and squandering a state budget surplus that could help those families that are still struggling, it's a small wonder we have the divisions that we do. And so with that, we wrap up our visit today. We'll take a look more at Governor Evers' proposal for the surplus, follow more of the news headlines tomorrow, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Pat Kreitlow along with Luke Mathers. This has been Up North News. You have a wonderful Tuesday. See you back here Wednesday.